Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, which will be our focus this morning, begins with this word, finally. Now, those of you who've been here for 97 messages may be saying the same thing, finally, finally. Today's text begins the third major division of Ephesians, as outlined by Watchman Nee. It starts with sit, chapters 1 through 3. Walk, chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 9. Stand, chapter 6, verses 10 through 24. So let's review. I've got a few props back here. So it begins in Scripture telling us to sit. And the Scripture says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God has given us his grace. Grace to save us. Grace to sustain us. Grace to protect us. But we start by needing to learn how to stop striving and stressing. We need to learn how to sit and rest in Christ. So that's first. And then next, we are told that we are to walk. Ephesians chapter 1, 4, verse 1, Paul said, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Man, it's hard to sit and rest in Jesus, but it's even harder to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of God on our lives. And then the last thing we read, we are to stand firm. And the Scripture says, put on the full armor of God, that so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Again, resting in Christ is hard. Living a life worthy of our calling in Christ is even harder, especially in light of an enemy who seeks to destroy us. We must learn how to put on the full armor of God so that we may stand firm and live lives that are pleasing and honoring and holy before the Lord. Because holiness matters. In fact, much of Scripture would say holiness matters most. Our heart is always what God looks at first. Sit, walk, stand. Now, the order is significant. First, we exercise our privileges. We sit with Christ in heavenly realms. We fellowship with him. We learn to lean on him. We learn to rest in him. Second, we walk worthy of our calling. We lead an exemplary life. We glorify Christ in the way we live. We progress in Christ-likeness and holiness. Now listen, until we do these two things, our Christian life is only talk. It's just talk. Listen, Satan has no problem ignoring such a person, because this person in no way threatens the kingdom of darkness. Now here's a scary thought. Could this be you? Could this be me? Are we this person that's no threat at all to the kingdom of darkness? If so, there's something wrong if we're in Christ. We're not walking or leaning on Christ as we should. But if we commit to use our heavenly seat to empower us to live godly lives, then watch out. Once we walk in the strength of the Lord, in the way he wants us to walk out, there will be trouble. Thus, Paul prepares us to scrutinize the opposition that we face. We must learn how to stand firm before our enemy. This morning's text, again, begins what is probably the most famous part of Ephesians. The passage is about putting on the armor of God. Beloved, we need all the armor we can get. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It's on the screen. I want to ask you to say it aloud with me. Ready? Say it with me. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. the loving apostle could see the intense storm looming before the Ephesian Christians and before all Christians who would follow. That includes us. He himself had weathered the fury of these intense storms often. Paul knew by experience of that which he spoke. His words rose from a battle-scarred soul. Paul had been in the spiritual furnace. He had felt the flames. Knowing this, now he could smell the smoke in the Ephesian Christians' future and in ours. He knew he would not be the only one who had to fight against a spiritual enemy. So, having no illusions about the obstacles that Christians would face, Paul knew that he must prepare us for battle. Paul refused to sugarcoat the news of the impending battle. Instead, Paul sounded the alarm. How to get ready for battle? The first thing is this: be strong. The verb that's used here in Greek is the passive tense. That means that it's not something that we just buck up and do ourselves. God must provide for us the strengthening required of us. On our own, we are powerless and doomed to defeat. In and of our own strength, we will lose this battle. On our own, we are not smart enough or strong enough to defeat the enemy before us. So, how can we win? God gives us his strength. Giving us his strength is God's way of enabling us to live as he commands. Our goal is not just to be a Christian, but to live and behave and think and respond as a Christian should according to Scripture. At home, at church, at school, on the job. These God-ordained standards of conduct are fixed. They are non-negotiable. They are written in Scripture. And as we soon will learn, they are unattainable in our own strength. Unfortunately, many Christians, because of a pattern of failure, stop trying to live by God's standards. Some even complain that God's standards, his standards of holiness, are humanly impossible. So why even try? The tragedy is, these people often quit trying just one short step shy of victory. They're almost to the goal. Almost is good as part of the journey, but it's not good at all as a final destination. Excusing our sin by saying, "Well, I just can't help it. It's just the way I am." That is a ridiculous, unbiblical cop-out for those who are in Christ. Acknowledging our weakness should not be a stumbling block over which we trip, but rather a stepping stone on which we rise to appropriate God's strength. We're all weak. We all grapple and struggle with sin. We all are in process of becoming who God wants us to be. It's not easy. Still, we never have a right to say that we cannot live as God calls us to live. To say that God's standard of holiness is unrealistic is to call God a liar, because he says that we can live as he calls us to live, because he offers us his strength. Everything God requires, God enables. Thus, all of God's commandments are in reality promises of his help in those various areas of our lives. Weakness is not merely a calamity to be endured. It is a sin of which we must repent, because God offers to change us from the inside out, to strengthen us by his Spirit, to walk with us, to give us what we need, to be who he calls us to be, and to do what he calls us to do. To be strengthened, then, in Christ is our duty. But this is the hard part. This is the confusing part. But the strength we need must come from him, not us. You know why that's hard? It goes everything we've been taught in American culture from the time we were born. Our reliance on God, not on self, but on God, must be unceasing, unbroken, unending. We must be empowered by God, not just once, but continuously. Because the drain on our spiritual resources is never-ending, our supply must be unendingly replenished. This is why pastors so often sound like a broken record when we say things like, be in the Word every day. Keep praying. Be in church every Sunday. Be a part of a small group. And yet, a whole lot of people are either very lazy or they simply don't believe. What do you mean, Lindy? What do you mean they don't believe? Many people don't believe that the spiritual battle is real. Or they don't believe that they need God's help. So out they go on their own, by themselves, trying to man up and buck up and be tough. And like a little tiny gazelle separated from the pack, the beast always gets them. Look, if you did believe that the battle is real, if you did believe, your priorities would be different. The spiritual battle is relentless. It's lifelong. It will be with us until the day we die. Failure to accept this fact explains, at least in some degree, the widespread pattern of failure among so many believers. Many believers simply accept defeat. They take no thought of the relentless, ongoing war that's being waged against them. Because of disbelief, many believers are defeated before they begin. Isn't that ironic? Because of unbelief, many believers. Now, wait a minute. If we believe, shouldn't we believe all of what God tells us in his word? And if we really believe, shouldn't we do what we say we believe? That's real belief. Victory requires ongoing vigilance. We err if we think that after conversion, we can simply put our lives on autopilot and use cruise control to be holy. That is not going to happen. Spiritual growth is never automatic. Even after years of being believers, we still have to fight because our enemy never stops. The problem is not the amount of power available to us. That's not the problem. The problem is appropriating the power that God has already given us. So, due to laziness, a lack of discipline, disbelief, the spiritual pilgrimage of many people ends in failure. But it doesn't have to be that way. With Christ, we can do better. How do we do better? Well, it starts with this. Remain on guard. Appropriate God's power. How to get ready for battle. The second thing is this. Be strong in the Lord and in his might. Paul understood human weakness. He told the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. That's the great Apostle Paul talking. A spiritually strong Christian is an ever humble Christian, knowing that in ourselves we are weak. But Paul also knew God's strength. God had told Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Through an intimate relationship with Christ, God's strength and human weakness intermingle. Strength in weakness. That term, that phrase, strength in weakness, sounds like a contradiction. But Paul affirmed God's plan, saying, when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul won the victory due to admitting personal emptiness and letting this emptiness become saturated with the fullness of God. Most of us would say that we agree with Paul. We know we're weak. We know that God is strong. We want God's strength. We would, most of us, agree with Paul in his premise here in this place. But if we do agree with Paul, it raises a serious question. If we know this is true, and we know what needs to be done, then why don't we do it? The answer. We often lack three critical triggers. Three critical triggers. Let's talk about each one. First, God's strength is triggered in human weakness by intimacy with Him. Intimacy with Him. Intimacy with Jesus is the channel that imparts strength to us. This explains part of why so many young people, teenagers going into college, fall away when they move out of the house. This is a dangerous time because, for most, for their entire lives, many have been living on their parents' faith. Then, when they get out of their parents' house, there's far less accountability. And that is precisely the time that many young people fall off the wagon. Each person needs to develop their own personal relationship and intimacy with Christ. You cannot live off of your parents' faith forever. You cannot live off of your Sunday school teacher's faith, or your small group leader's faith, or your pastor's faith forever. You must develop your own intimacy with Christ. So, God's power is not so much extracted from Jesus. Rather, it's a byproduct of a life in Jesus. God's power flows into human weakness through an intimate relationship with Him. So as you look at yourself, as you look at your life, as you consider your relationship with Christ, if as you self-evaluate, you do not see intimacy with Christ, that is the beginning point of most of people's problems. Intimacy with Jesus is the conduit whereby His strength flows into our weakness. So, God's power is available and readily accessible. How well we are able to appropriate it depends on the condition of our intimacy with Jesus. You cannot wait until a crisis happens, and then say to yourself, well, I guess it's time to get close to Jesus now so I can have his power. It doesn't work that way. Intimacy with Jesus is developed through a process, through a pattern over time. We need to work on intimacy with Jesus today to prepare for a crisis that has not yet come, but surely will. So let's get practical. If you're going to work on intimacy with God today, you need to be in the Word, and you need to be in prayer, and you need to be with other believers today. The Word of God is your spiritual food. Let me do a little analogy that's pretty true. Some of you only eat two meals a week. One on Sunday morning, and maybe one on Wednesday night. If that's your pattern, no wonder you're weak. No wonder you have no strength for the battle. You are spiritually emaciated because you do not feed on the Word of God consistently. Also, prayer is an evidence of your faith in God. Those who trust God pray because they believe God hears and answers their prayers. Conversely, those who do not trust God typically don't pray until an emergency. They would rather depend on themselves than on God. Therein, they are weak. Little time in the Word and little time in prayer characterizes weak Christians. By the way, if you're like me, I'm always looking for an easier way. How can I find an easier way? What's the end run? I just want to tell you, if your goal is intimacy with Christ, if your goal is strength in Christ, there is no easier way. You can't get there without being with God. You can't get there without investing in the Word, without investing in prayer, without investing in relationships with believers that are going to help you and encourage you and challenge you. You cannot get there without paying the price. There is no easier way. Second, God's strength is triggered in human weakness by time. By time. The hymn we sang this morning said it well. The first verse says this: take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Did you notice the word time? Take time to do these things. And then the second verse says, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Take time to be with Jesus because there's no other way to be holy. One commentator said it this way: hurry is the death of prayer. An embarrassing word of personal testimony. Sometimes I've been having my quiet time and I'm looking at the clock while I'm having my quiet time. It's like, man, Lord, I got a lot to do today. Don't you know, God? I got a lot of church work to do today. And it's kind of, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing. We cannot have our eyes on God and on the clock at the same time. Since our success depends on a sustained, ongoing relationship with Jesus, we must be willing to commit ourselves to him over the long haul. Beloved, this is a marathon, not a sprint. We must be willing to invest time in our relationship with Jesus. You ready? For a lifetime. There are no shortcuts to personal holiness. Intimacy with Christ is an everyday, all day, lifelong quest. Our bodies gain strength by daily disciplines such as exercise, good nutrition, adequate sleep. In similar fashion, we gain spiritual strength by the daily disciplines of personal time in the Word, time in prayer, and time invested in the development of relationships with other believers. Quick fixes will not do the job. Prayerettes and devotionettes produce weak Christianettes. With God's help, we can do much, much better. Third, God's strength is triggered by in human weakness by focus. Believers are often too overcommitted. We try to live the Christian life in a hectic, helter-skelter, hope maybe I can find time for it way. But to succeed, we must refocus and reprioritize our lives to really and truly place Christ first. Honestly, many families choose the idolatry of other things over their own spiritual growth. There are 1,000 excuses to why we cannot invest in the things that help us grow spiritually. Some parents would rather have their kids be successful in sports than in their spiritual lives. Some men would rather be successful in their jobs than in their spiritual lives. Idolatry nips at our heels from many directions. On and on it goes. As followers of Jesus, if we truly are followers of Jesus, we must reprioritize and refocus. We cannot think of our own spiritual development as an extra. We cannot think of our own spiritual development as just another item on the calendar if and when we have the time, if we can get around to it. See, if that's our mentality, here's the reality. We never get around to it. We must focus on Jesus first every day. Interestingly enough, the housefly helps illustrate this. A fly is able to walk on the ceiling due to the vacuum its webbed feet produce when pushed hard against the surface. Flies do not merely flit against the ceiling and accidentally stick. They must consciously press their weight against the surface and push out the air underneath their feet, thereby creating an emptiness which results in the needed vacuum. Similarly, our power lies in consciously pressing the weight of our focus on God and His Word. We cannot casually flit about throwing in a dose of Jesus now and then when it's convenient. We must focus on Jesus today and every day. We must lean hard into God's power in the midst of our weakness. Spiritual success hinges on our determination to focus spiritually. May I encourage you? If you're in Christ, this is not something you cannot do. You can do this. God offers us everything we need for life and godliness. We can do this, but it won't happen by accident. It does take effort. It does take consistency. It does take focus. But when we've been faithful in daily spiritual disciplines, then when times of crisis do arise, and by the way, in every life, times of crisis do arise, then we're prepared. Or at least We're better prepared because of our pattern of leaning on Jesus being set and consistent. We're feeding on the Word day by day. We're consistently demonstrating faith in God through prayer. We spend time alone with God, not just in emergencies, but as the everyday pattern of our lives. We prioritize relationships with other believers and involvement in church. And we refocus by putting Jesus at the center of our lives as our first priority. So there you have it. There's the introduction. How do we get ready for spiritual battle? We begin by admitting our own weakness and by being strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Next week, we'll share more. So enough for today.